سخنران امشب جلسه تهران AA که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی زیر نظر ناحیه موضوع الکلی‌های گمنام در تهران هست، آقای بری با 31 سال هوشیاری از کشور امریکا. موضوع جلسه هم قدم چهارم هست. جلسه در اختیار شماست خانم سلماس.
Hello dear Barry, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very good.
Is your camera? Oh, I can now see you.
My camera should be on.
It's on. Yes, it's on. So the floor is yours. Please start.
Thank you. Oh, hello everyone. My name is Barry and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 7th of September, 1989. And I have been very involved and grateful for my sobriety since that day. I will tell you a little bit about my story. I was 46 years old when I got sober. And I started drinking when I was 12. You know, at the beginning, it was a little beer, a couple cans, then it was a couple quarts. And frankly, by the time I was 15 years old, I was pretty much a weekend drunk. I don't attribute anything that happened to me in my life, good or bad, and in particular bad, that made me an alcoholic. I have come to believe that I was born an alcoholic and never knew that until I got sober at 46.
Sorry, can you give me a time so I can translate this part?
How about right now?
Thank you very much. سلام، من بری و یک الکلی هستم. 7 سپتامبر 1989 پاک شدم و از اون روز یک فرد بسیار فعال و عضو بسیار فعال و سپاسگزار در الکلی‌های گمنام هستم. 46 سالم بود که پاک شدم. 12 سالگی شروع کردم به نوشیدن الکل. اولش یکی دو تا آبجو بود، ولی من 15 سالم که بود دیگه حسابی آخر هفته های مست واقعی بودم. و من نمیخوام هیچ کدوم از اتفاقاتی که تو زندگیم افتاد رو دلیل الکلی شدنم بدونم، چون اعتقاد دارم که من یک الکلی به دنیا اومدم. پلیز.
Thank you. Please stop me when I am getting on overload for you. I don't make it too difficult for you. So, you know, as I said, I was about to say that I have concluded that I have a disease of alcoholism, which means that I have an obsession of the mind, and I have an allergy of the body. And when I start drinking, I can't seem to stop. I have no limits. And that kicked in fairly early. As I left off here in my story, I wanted to point out that I don't have anyone to blame for my alcoholism because I have this disease. And but yet, when I was a child, when I was about 10 years old, my mother became very ill. And by the time I was 15, I was a freshman in high school, she passed away from cancer. And it was a very difficult, dark 5 years in my life. And to this day, even though I'm now an old man, I very much miss my mother. She was everything to me.
Can I think? من مرض و بیماری الکلیزم رو داشتم که وسوسه فکری و آلرژی بدنیه. وقتی من شروع می کردم به مشروب خوردن دیگه نمیتونستم متوقفش کنم و این مسئله تقریبا برای من از همون اوایل اتفاق افتاد. من هیچ کس رو نمیخوام به خاطر الکلی بودنم سرزنش کنم و مقصر بدونم، چون من این بیماری رو داشتم. البته وقتی من 10 سالم بود مادرم مریض شد و 15 سالم بود که مادرم فوت شدن و اون 5 سالی بودش که من برای من خیلی تاریک بود و الانم که من یک مرد تقریبا با این سن و سال هستم هنوز هم دلم برای مادرم بسیار تنگه.
And so when I had always been a very good student up to that point, even though I was drinking, I was an athlete. I played a lot of sports. I was very active. I had a lot of friends. But it was very, my dad went into a depression after my mom passed, and he spent all of his money, literally, on trying to keep my mom alive. And it just wasn't fun around my house. So drinking, escaping, getting out, playing ball, driving around on my bicycle, running away. And by the time I was 17, my senior year in high school, I ran away from home and took my brother-in-law's car and went from a long distance from Pennsylvania, where I was living, to Florida with a friend.
With your brother? With your brother?
With a friend. I took my brother-in-law's car.
My brother-in-law's car. اوکی و ایشون میگن که من خیلی قبل از اینکه مادرم فوت بشه دانش آموز خوبی بودم، بسیار ورزشکار بودم، بسیار فعال بودم، دوستای زیادی داشتم و بعد از اینکه مادرم فوت شد من به هر حال پدرم بسیار افسرده شد به خاطر اینکه هرچی پول داشت صرف این کرده بود که مادرم رو بتونه حفظ بکنه ولی نتونسته بود و اصلا محیط خیلی شادی برای زندگی اونجا نبود. برای همین من مشروب میخوردم و در حال فرار بودم از خونه. وقتی 17 سالم بود ماشین همسر فکر کنم خواهرم رو برداشتم و از خونه فرار کردم و از پنسیلوانیا رفتم به فلوریدا.
So after running away from home, when they brought me back, it was halfway through my final year in high school, and I was in a lot of trouble. And I had missed my final exams, and they said to me, the men in my family had gotten together, my father, the principal of the high school, vice principal of the high school, and they gave me a choice. Repeat your final year of high school, or you can go into the military. And they were really sort of pushing me to go into the military because I was a disciplinary problem to them. I was pretty much drinking 3 or 4 days a week by this time at the age of 17. And I went into the army.
و من اون سال تقریبا میشه گفت وسط های سال آخر دبیرستانم بودم که وقتی منو برگردوندن من نصف امتحاناتم رو از دست داده بودم و تو دردسر شدیدی افتاده بودم و تمام مردای خانواده و اعضای دبیرستانم به من میگفتن تو 2 تا انتخاب داری، یا باید دوباره دبیرستان سال آخر تکرار کنی یا اینی که بری سربازی. و یه جورایی داشتن منو سوق میدادن که برم سربازی، برای اینکه من اصلا مشکلی واقعا یه عالمه مشکل با دیسیپلین و منضبط بودن داشتم. من 17 سالم بود ولی 3-4 روز در هفته رو مشروب میخوردم.
So my drinking picked up when I went into the army. I was now with older men and I had I became a daily drinker, and I started drinking much more than beer. I started drinking whiskey and scotch, and I began running around. I had a false ID that said that I was old enough to get into nightclubs and bars, that I had somehow gotten from my a friend in the personnel department. Be that as it may, that kicked my drinking into the next gear. And I was always functional. I was in the Army about 2.5 years. I got out early to come home and help my dad, who was ill. My father was in the music business, and at the age of 19, when I got out of the Army, almost 20, I went headlong into the entertainment industry, which is what I always wanted to do. I sure didn't want to be in the Army.
من رفتم به سربازی و اونجا دیگه حسابی مشروب خوردن من بالا گرفت، برای اینکه اینجا با مردای بزرگسالتر از مسن‌تر از خودم بودم و دیگه به جای آبجو ویسکی و اسکاچ می‌خوردم و برای خودم یه دونه کارت شناسایی دروغی هم درست کرده بودم که باش بتونم برم به بارها و نایت کلاب‌ها، کلوب‌های شبانه، و هنوزم خوب کار یعنی میتونستم عملکرد داشته باشم تو زندگیم. 2.5 سال تقریبا گذشته بود که من برگشتم خونه، پدرم یکم مریض شده بود که برگردم بهش کمک کنم. پدرم در کار موسیقی بود و در تجارت موسیقی بود یا بیزنس موسیقی بود و من اون موقع 19 سالم بود که وارد کار What kind of entertainment you entered?
At that time, it was I became a radio announcer, and a singer, and an actor, and I was working in my father's music promotion business.
بله، و ایشون وارد کارهایی شدن مثل توی رادیو، خوانندگی، هنرپیشگی و کارهایی که پدرشون در موسیقی می‌کردن. Please.
And I was a functional drunk. I drank all the time. I partied all the time. Mind you, this was the 1960s. And after a few years of working small radio stations and having a folk singing group and acting in some plays, I went to New York City to seek fame and fortune. Go ahead.
و من خیلی خوب میتونستم کار کنم. من هر روز مشروب میخوردم و همش مهمونی میرفتم دائما و یه دونه توی یه دونه کانال رادیویی حسابی داشتم و کار میکردم و یه گروه موزیک را انداخته بودم و اون موقع بود که من و بعد بگم که این زمان 1960 بوده که من رفتم به نیویورک، شهر پول و ثروت و شهرت.
Okay. When I got to New York, it was the early 1960s, close to the mid 1960s. It was a really wild and wonderful and crazy time to be in New York City. There was nothing but music, and I was in the middle of it. I was working for some big companies as a booking agent, and I managed bands that had hit records, and I got to meet people like the Beatles, and I got to represent a lot of really well-known artists and performers. And during the midst of this, I started to smoke marijuana and hash and eat mushrooms and LSD, and all of those drugs are all a part of my story, but this is Alcoholics Anonymous. And through all of that, of course, I did keep drinking.
وسط و اواسط دهه 60 در امریکا، در به خصوص در نیویورک، یه جای بسیار وحشی، فوق‌العاده و دیوانواری بود، به خصوص برای کسی که توی صنعت موسیقی باشه، که من اون موقع باید یه عالمه آدم‌های مختلف و آرتیست‌های مختلف رو می‌دیدم، معرفیشون میکردم، برنامه هاشون رو برنامه ریزی میکردم و حتی با بیتل ها مثلا قرار ملاقات داشتم یا براشون کار میکردم و بسیاری نوازنده ها و هنرمند های معروف. و اون زمان بود که من شروع کردم به کشیدن ماریجوانا و حشیش و ماجیک ماشروم و LSD و اینجور چیزا. البته اینجا جلسه الکلی های گمنامه و من راجع به این مسائل نمیخوام حرف بزنم، ولی میخوام بگم که کارم به کجا رسید.
I left out other drugs. Pills. There were many pills. Anyway, you know, I kept functioning and it was the era. Everybody seemed to be doing it. And after a few years in New York, I went to San Francisco, to the heart of all of that revolution stuff. And I continued to work in the music industry. I met my wife in San Francisco. She had a daughter from her first marriage, and I became a father, and got very serious with my wife. We went away together for a while, and I realized that I had to try and be more responsible. But you know, the fact is that I just kept drinking and using anyway, and I drank and used my way through my first 18 years of my marriage and being a father, not only to my adopted daughter, who is my daughter, I adopted her, and my son, who was born in 1976. And they all suffered, the three of them, because of my alcoholism. And eventually, around 1976, I had a music production business. I ran it into the ground, and I had a bankruptcy, and we ended up living in an ashram and studying meditation for a couple of years.
اوکی. و خب من همه مواد رو گفتم، البته یه سری چیزها رو دیگه من مصرف نکردم، ولی قرص هم زیاد میخوردم و اینا باعث میشد که من حسابی خوب عملکرد داشته باشم. به نظر اون زمانا به نظر میرسید که همه این کار رو میکنن. و بعد من از اون رفتم به سان فرانسیسکو که قلب این تحولات بود و اونجا هم همچنان توی صنعت موسیقی بودم. با همسرم آشنا شدم که دختری از ازدواج اولش داشت و من دیگه پدر شده بودم، باید کمی مسئولیت پذیر میشدم و 18 سال اول ازدواجم رو من میخوردم و میکشیدم و مصرف میکردم و برای همسرم، دخترش و پسرمون هر ستای اونها رو واقعا زجر میدادم. و من در سال 1976 که یک مؤسسه تولید و تهیه موسیقی داشتم به شدت ورشکست شدم و اونجا بود که رفتم به یک آشرام که مدیتیشن کنم. It's exactly 70s.
So I spent 2 years, you know, I've always been a lover of God. I've always had a spiritual life, and I always thought that I was on the right track because I was creative and played music and sang and performed and helped other artists and have always been a part of a creative community. It wasn't until as I get a little bit further here in my story, when I start to get sober, that I started to learn many things that about myself that were anything but spiritual. But that's... I'm going to get sober fairly soon here, and we'll talk more about sobriety.
Okay. و ایشون میگن که به هر حال من همیشه علاقه من به اسپریچوالیتی داشتم، به معنویت داشتم و بسیار خلاق بودم. قسمتی از زندگی من همیشه خلاقیت بود و وقتی که من پاک شدم فهمیدم که حالا همه اون چیزایی که من فکر میکردم معنویت و روحانیت هیچ کدومشون واقعا نبود. و الان میخوام برگردم به اون قسمت. داریم کم کم میرسیم به اونجایی که من هوشیار شدم. اوکی.
اوکی. You know, we were living in California. My wife and I had started playing music together. We played music together. My wife was a wonderful singer. And we wrote songs together. And we played a lot of clubs and colleges. And we toured all over. And we had about, I guess, 12 years of playing music, but I was burning out. And by the time I got sober, and I'm jumping ahead a bit, I'll tell you how I felt the day that I got sober. When I got sober, the old timers told me never to forget your last drunk. And I won't tell you the particulars of my last drunk, but I'll tell you how I felt. I had no energy. I was depressed. I was very angry. I was very, I cried all the time. I was full of self-pity. I was 46 years old. My kidneys throbbed. My pancreas. If I drank one day the way I was used to drinking and had always practiced my drinking, I was on the couch for three. My daughter was a freshman, or not a freshman, she was at the at Pepperdine University, a wonderful college here, making her own way through college on scholarships. My son was in middle school. He had come home one day and told me he was ashamed of me. Couldn't bring his friends home after school because he didn't know what kind of shape his father was going to be in. Please go ahead.
من با همسرم توی کالیفرنیا شروع کردیم با هم دیگه موسیقی زدن و ایشون یک خواننده فوق‌العاده بود و موسیقی می نوشتیم و ایشون با هم می رفتیم می خوندیم تو مدرسه ها جاهای مختلف و 12 سال ما این کار رو کردیم تا اینکه دیگه من واقعا دیگه چیزی ازم باقی نمونده بود و در اصل میشه گفت دیگه به تای ختم رسیده بودم و همیشه یادمه به من اعضای قدیمی ایه میگفتن که آخرین باری که مشروب خوردی آخرین بار مصرفت رو فراموش نکن و من نمیخوام حالا بگم دقیقا چه اتفاقاتی افتاد، فقط میخوام بگم چه احساسی داشتم. من اون موقع هیچ انرژی نداشتم، کاملا دیپرس بودم، بسیار عصبانی بودم، همش گریه میکردم، پر از احساس افسوس به حال خود بودم. 46 سالم بود و کلیه و پانکراسم مشکل داشت. اگه من یک روز اونجوری مشروب میخوردم که عادت داشتم، باید 3 روز روی مبل میخوابیدم. دخترم اون موقع رفته بود دانشگاه و پسرم دبیرستانی بود و یه بار اومد و به من گفت واقعا خجالت میکشه از من و نمیتونه دوستاش رو بیاره.
So it was as I said, my sobriety date is September 7th, 1989. I had been drinking, I guess, about 44 years when I hit the end of the road and could no longer be a functioning drunk. It wasn't working. I couldn't get sober and I couldn't stay drunk. And my wife had gone away with my son to visit her parents. I was home alone. It was a holiday weekend, Sunday morning. I was very, you know, melodramatic guy, and I fell on the floor in my living room and I said what I later learned was the drunk's prayer. I said, God help me. And I knew nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous, nothing. I had been getting two friends had been sending me literature in the mail, pamphlets, and I always threw them away. And I just, you know, alcohol and drinking and drugging was my life. They were my friends. They helped me all the time, I thought. Now they weren't working. And for some odd reason, I picked up the telephone and I called Alcoholics Anonymous. And they told me that there was a meeting about a half a mile from my house that I could actually walk to. And it was a big meeting hall. And I got myself showered and shaved and dressed. And I showed up at that meeting.
خب من 44 سال نوشیدم تا در 7 سپتامبر 1989 واقعا دیگه نمیتونستم زندگی کنم و پاک بمونم یا مصرف کنم. و یک روز یک شنبه بود که همسرم رفته بود به دیدن خانوادهش و من اون روز روی زمین حال خونم افتادم و حرف رو زدم و گفتم خدایا کمکم بکن. و اون موقع واقعا چیزی از AA نمیدونستم. دوستای من پمفلت های زیادی میفرستادن برام توی میل باکس جمعی پستیم دم در، ولی چون الکل و مواد دوستای من بودن و دوستشون داشتم همه اونا رو میریختم دور، ولی متاسفانه الکل و مواد دیگه برای من کار نمیکرد و من زنگ زدم اون روز به یک زنگ زدم به AA و اونا به من گفتن که یک جلسه در نیم مایلی منزل من هست که من میتونم حتی پیاده برم اونجا. و من رفتم حموم و خودم رو ترتمیز کردم و رفتم به اون جلسه.
So since that Sunday morning when I walked in the back door through the parking lot and sat down in the very last row, it was a big meeting hall. It's called the Burbank Group. And it had been founded in 1947. There were a lot of old-timers there. It was a Sunday morning speaker meeting. I sat down in the last row, as I said, on a row of steel chairs. And they later told me that they called that row Death Row. And I was directly in line with the speaker and the AA triangle. Seemed to be pointed at me and in my stupor that I was still in, no doubt. And the speaker saw me come in that back door and he said, we have greeters, as perhaps you do too, in your in-person meetings, you know, where people come, they stand at the door and they welcome you and they shake your hand and welcome you to the meeting. And, of course, I had gotten there late, and I didn't have anyone greet me, and I sat down there in that chair. And the speaker, who was in the middle of talking to 350 people, however many were there, looked at me, and he said, if you're new, and we haven't had a chance to say hello to you and greet you, just wipe that grin off your face and let us know you're hurting, because we want to help you.
بله. و من رفتم به اون جلسه ای که جلسه به نام بربنک، گروه بربنک بود که یک جلسه قدیمی و از سال 1947 شروع شده و اون یک جلسه صبح یک شنبه های سخنران با فرمت سخنران بود و من از در عقب رفتم و روی صندلی های آهنی نشستم که بعدن گفتن اسم این ردیف آخر هست، ردیف مرگ. و اون سخنران که داشت با 350 نفر حرف میزد یه دفعه منو دید و منم یکم دیر رفته بودم و گفتش که وسط حرفش گفتش که اگه شما تازه وارد هستید میتونی اون لبخندتو از صورتت پاک کنی و بذاری که ما بفهمیم که داری درد میکشی تا بتونیم بهت کمک بکنیم.
So I sat through that meeting and I was sort of struck sober. At the end of a meeting, a white-haired man in a white shirt and very nice pair of slacks with crease in the slacks and shiny shoes walked up to me and he stuck his hand out and he said, are you new? And I said, yes, sir, this is my first meeting. And he said, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Bill W. And of course, I had seen the meetings, the movies about Bill W., and this guy, you know, had the hair. And my ego, as I will tell you now, one of my character defects is grandiosity and bigshotism. And I actually, in my mind, for a second thought, oh, of course, I'm going to get sober now, and it's only right that the founder should be here to greet me. And of course, Bill W. had passed away many years ago, you know, and I got that adjustment very quickly. It was probably the first ego deflation that I had in alcoholics.
بله. سو ایشون همونجور که نشستن تو اون جلسه کم کم احساس کردن که دارن یکم هوشیار میشن و آخر جلسه یک مرد با موهای سفید و پیرن سفید و بسیار تر و تمیز که کفشاش برق میزد اومد و به من گفتش که شما تازه وارد هستیم و من گفتم بله. گفت ای خوش اومدید و اسم من بیل دبلیوه و من اون لحظه یهو احساس کردم که خب من انقدر فکر میکنم آدم مهم و مطرحی هستم که حتما باید اون در از بنیانگذار اون برنامه بیاد، چون من میدونستم که بیل دبلیو بنیانگذار ای ای بوده و بیاد به من خوش آمد بگه. ولی خب خیلی سریع فهمیدم که بیل دبلیو فوت شده و این اولین باری بود که در از اون غرور من یه جورایی سوراخ شد و بادش خالی شد تو ای ای.
So what that man told me, it turned out he was a retired Air Force officer, and he lived a few blocks from my house, and we walked home together, and he told me a lot about AA, and he said a few things to me that are true to this day that we learn. He said, don't drink between meetings. We have lots of meetings every day at our hall. If you drank every day, you can go to a meeting every day and come join us. And I started right away going to meetings every day, and I've been sober since that day.
و این دوست منو رسوند تا دم خونم، چند تا خونه با من خونش فاصله داشت، با هم پیاده رفتیم و به من گفتش که جلسه برو، بین جلسه هات مشروب نخور، یه عالمه جلسه تو این حال و این فضا اتفاق میفته، اگه تو هر روز مشروب میخوردی پس هر روز میتونی جلسه بری. و من از همون روز شروع کردم به جلسه رفتن و از اون روز پاک موندم.
In those days, this is again 1989, there was smoking in the meetings. So there were ashtrays to be washed after every meeting. There were coffee cups. We had ceramic coffee cups to be washed after every meeting. The floor had to be swept. Tables had to be wiped down. Cigarette butts had to be picked up in the parking lot. And they started me right away doing all of that work. Go ahead.
و اون سال 1989 ما تو جلسات سیگار میکشیدیم، برای همین اون زیر سیگاری ها باید تمیز میشد، لیوانای قهوه که همه سرامیکی بودن باید اینا شسته میشدن، کف زمین اون حال باید تی کشیده میشد، جارو میشد و از توی پارکینگ هم باید تر سیگارا جمع میشد و همون اوائل من شروع کردم به انجام دادن همه این کارا.
So it wasn't long before they had their elections. I wasn't aware of them, but there were new meeting secretaries taking over, and a woman walked up to me at a meeting and said, you're going to be my Sunday morning coffee maker. I said, okay. And as I said, this was a big hall, and we had lots of big meetings and newcomer meetings and speaker meetings of all sorts and guest speakers who came in. I heard people out of the big book and met a lot of wonderful alcoholics. And I would be at the coffee bar shaking hands and giving coffee to 350 people on a Sunday morning. And it really just brought me into Alcoholics Anonymous in a big way.
و من یه دفعه متوجه شدم که خب اونجا دوباره انتخابات دارن برای خدمات و یه خانی اومد به من گفتش که تو، من میخوام تو رو انتخاب بکنم برای اینکه روز یک شنبه قهوه بدی و وظیفه خدمت قهوه دادن رو به عهده بگیری. و خب من اونجا یه جلسه بزرگ بود، فضای بزرگی بود و خیلی افراد با افراد خیلی خاصی من اونجا آشنا شدم و بعضی روزای یک شنبه بعد 350 نفر قهوه میدادم و باهاشون دست میدادم و از همونجا منو برد وسط ای این خدمت.
So AA just became a big part of my life, and after I want to tell you about taking steps 1, 2, and 3. I hadn't gotten a sponsor yet, but I had met a lot of men and women who were helping me a great deal. And there were people with 40 years of sobriety in that group already. They had gotten sober in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one night after a meeting, and the steps were all in individual frames on the wall. And a man who had about 16 years and another man had 11, 12, 13 years came up to me after the meeting and they said, "How's your sobriety doing?" And I said, "Good. You have a sponsor yet?" "Not yet." Are you reading?" "Yes, I've already read the big book from cover to cover. I've read it. I want to be sober." And they said, "Well, how would you like to go through steps 1, 2, and 3? I said, okay. And we stood there, one man on one side of me, another man on the other side of me, and they asked me to read out loud step 1, which I did. And then they asked me how I felt about it and if I accepted it in my heart, in my gut, and in my mind. And I said, yes. And they did the same thing with step 2, and they did the same thing with step 3. So within about a half an hour, I had taken 1, 2, and 3 with 2 fellow alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And including the third step prayer.
خب من اون موقع AA شد یه قسمت بزرگی از زندگیم، ولی هنوز راهنما نداشتم، ولی با مردان و زنان بسیاری که بهم کمک کردن آشنا شدم. خیلی کسایی اونجا بودن که 40 سال هوشیاری داشتن و در روزهای اول پاک شده بودن، روزهای اولیه AA. و یه روزی اونجا بایستاده بودم که اومدن از من یکی از این آقایون از من پرسید که آیا تو راهنما گرفتی؟ من گفتم نه هنوز نگرفتم. گفت کتاب رو خوندی؟ گفتم بله، من از جلد کتاب تا جلد کتاب، یعنی کل کتاب رو خوندم. گفت میخوای قدم 1 و 2 و 3 رو کار کنیم؟ منم گفتم خب بله، چرا که نه. و یک آقا سمت راست من وایساد، یه آقای دیگه اون طرف، و گفتن از من خواستن که من قدم 1 رو بخونم. و وقتی من بلند قدم 1 رو خوندم، گفتن که خب واقعا اینو با تمام وجودت، با قلبت قبول داری؟ و من گفتم بله قبول دارم. و قدم 2 و 3 رو هم همین کار رو با من کردن. و من ظرف نیم ساعت 3 قدم رو برداشتم و دعای قدم 3 رو هم خوندم.
I shortly thereafter got a sponsor. Wonderful man, my first sponsor. I've had 3. I would still have him as a sponsor, but he moved away. And I went through the rest of the steps. Somewhere around, I'm not quite sure of when, but around 30, 60, 90 days, somewhere in there, I had the realization sitting in that meeting hall that I didn't have a desire to drink. That the obsession that I had never been able to stop drinking, that I was always going to go out and get drunk and buy drugs, was lifted. And I sat there in the hall and I said, well, now what? And I realized that the rest of my life was going to be about my character and my personality and dealing with living amends and amends and my character defects.
و من فوراً بعد از اون راهنما گرفتم و بقیه قدم‌ها رو کار کردم. من کلاً 3 تا راهنما داشتم. اون راهنمای اولم چون از اون شهر رفتن، من مجبور شدم راهنمامو عوض کنم. به هر حال بین 30, 60 یا 90 روز بود که من یه روزی احساس کردم دیگه من تمایلی به مصرف ندارم و اون عشق و تمایل شدید من به مصرف و خرید مواد و مشروب از من گرفته شده و یه لحظه فکر کردم خب حالا چی کار کنم و بقیهش میشد شخصیت سازی، یعنی بقیه قدم ها که من میبایست روی نواقص اخلاقیم در اصل کار میکردم به وسیله قدم ها و جبران خسارت هامو و زندگی که دیگه توش خسارت نزنم رو دنبال میکردم.
So that began the real journey. You know, as the old timer said to me, the longest journey that you take in Alcoholics Anonymous is from your head to your heart. And I began to realize things about myself, that I was arrogant, that I was selfish and self-centered, that I owed my wife and my children living amends that go on to this day. I learned that I was a liar, a cheater, and a thief. I learned that even though I had tried very hard and worked very hard in my life, that I had a long way to go. And I came to believe in a much deeper way in my higher power. My higher power, I cannot define, but it includes everyone. Any spiritual concept or idea that doesn't include every man, woman, and child doesn't work for me. I believe we're all connected. Everybody. I believe we all deserve food, shelter, clothing, a roof over our heads, an education. But beyond that, I don't know who my higher power is.
خب من شروع کردم به واقعا طی این سفر که مسیر واقعی بود و این 12 قدم و چیزی که قدیمی ترها میگن اینه که این بلندترین سفر ما سفری است از سرمون به قلبمون و من تازه اونجا بود که فهمیدم من چقدر خودخواه و متکبر هستم، چقدر خودمحورم و چقدر به خانوادم، همسرم و بچه هام خسارت زدم و باید همش جوری زندگی کنم که این خسارتها رو جبران بکنم. متوجه شدم که در رابطه با خودم که چقدر من یک دروغگو، خیانتکار و دزد هستم و با اینی که من کار زیاد کرده بودم تو زندگیم ولی هنوز خیلی جا داشت که بخوام کار بکنم و کم کم بود که شروع کردم به باور کردن نیروی برترم در یک درجه عمیق‌تری. من نمیتونم توضیحش بدم، فقط میتونم بگم که نیروی برتر من همه چیز و همه کس رو در بر میگیره، هر زن، مرد، بچه‌ای رو در بر میگیره و ما همه به هم وصل هستیم، با هم یکی هستیم و هر زن، مرد، بچه‌ای، همه کس نیاز داره به اینی که در صلح و رفاه و همه چیز داشته باشه و این اون درکی بود که من اون زمان یا همتون از نیروی برترم پیدا کردم.
So I try and live in the steps. My sponsor now says that, you know, if you ask me what step I'm on, he would say all of them. When I was a musician playing music, I felt that if I wanted to come from my heart and my soul, that I had to get inside of a song. I had to understand it. I had to believe it. And I believe in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They help me. I believe in acceptance. I believe in surrender. I believe in the third step of turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. And that brings me to the 11th step, which has become probably the most active step in my life, prayer and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer and meditation.
و من اون موقعی که توی کار موسیقی هم بودم فکر میکردم من حتما باید برم تو بطن یک موسیقی و اونو کامل درک کنم تا بتونم اونو بنوازم. همینطورم توی الکلی های گمنام من باید کاملا باور میکردم به قدم ها و اینی که قدم ها رو میپذیرفتم. پذیرش، تسلیم، دعای قدم سه که من هر روز بخوام اراده و زندگیم رو به مراقبت پروردگار اونجوری که درکش کردم بسپرم، اینا همه منو آورد به قدم 11 که دعا و مراقبه است، که شاید مهمترین یا اون قدمیه که من بیشتر از همه بهش میپردازم.
So what happens to me, you know, prayer is one thing, and praying only for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. I don't ask God for things. I believe that things happen the way they're supposed to. It's my opinion, my belief. That's one of the beautiful things about Alcoholics Anonymous, is that we find our own way. We don't have to all do things the same way. We can find our own path. But I have found that when I meditate, when I first learned to meditate way back in the 1970s, I was seeking cosmic consciousness. I was seeking to always have some kind
Sorry, this was before you get sober, because you mentioned that you went to ashrams. This was before you get sober?
Yeah, when I first learned, yes.
Okay. Sorry.
So now, while, like the big book says, occasionally in the 11th step, in the 12 and 12, it says we may get occasionally have a glimpse of the great reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very beautiful. But frequently what happens when I meditate is that I just calm down. Mm-hmm. I back off of my hysteria about life. I just calm down.
Yeah.
خب ایشون گفتن که خب این برای من دعا و مراقبه قدم 11 خیلی مهمه و بیشترش هم در این خلاصه میشه که ما فقط برای آگاهی از خواست خدا، برای خود و قدرت انجامش دعا میکنیم. ما اینجا نمیایم از خدا برای این و این چیز و اون چیز دعا بکنیم. و این باور شخصی منه، چون در هر حال خدا بهتر میدونه که هر کسی باید چه مسیری رو بره. و زیبایی این برنامه به اینه که هر کسی مسیر خودش رو پیدا میکنه و هر کسی باید طریق خودش رو پیدا بکنه. و من اتفاقا از قبل از پاکی مراقبه میکردم و دنبال خیلی مراقبه های مختلفی هم رفته بودم، ولی همون جوری که اون مراقبه هایی که من توی الکلی های گمنام انجام میدم و قدم 11 من که دعا و مراقبه هست، همونجوری که کتاب 12-12 میگه هر از گاهی یک دورنمایی از اون منظره واقعی زندگی یا چشمنداز الهی زندگی به ما نشون میده، که خیلی قشنگ و زیباست، ولی اون هر از گاهیه و بیشتر مواقع فقط باعث میشه من آروم باشم. بیشتر مواقع دعا و مراقبه باعث میشه من از اون حالت هیستریکی که نسبت به زندگی دارم منو میکشه عقب و باعث میشه که من فقط آروم باشم و در آرامش زندگی کنم.
The other things that happen with the 11th step and meditation is that I stop thinking angry thoughts and crazy thoughts and frightening thoughts, and I begin to have feelings of forgiveness. My anger goes away. My thinking is on a different level. I have compassion. I have greater understanding for my fellow human beings. I have empathy. I have patience. The things that AA promises us. To wrap up, today, I experience every day, not all the time, but I do experience happy, joyous, and free.
Mm-hmm.
I do experience serenity. I do have peace of mind. I only want what I have. I am not jealous of what you have. My life is good. I have 6 grandchildren today who have never seen me loaded. My wife says they're the only ones. I have a marriage that next month in May will be 48 years married. My wife is very active in Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
My son, by the way, went to Alateen when he was a boy. My daughter has gone to Al-Anon. Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. I sponsor many men. They're a very joyful spot in my life, with the exception of a couple who have lost, and a couple who can't seem to stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
But Alcoholics Anonymous is the best thing going, and it's for fun and it's for free. And I have really enjoyed this, and I hope that you have gotten something out of it. And I wish everybody to go to bed tonight and put their head on the pillow sober. And wake up sober.
خب من فقط اینو بگم که من کار دیگه ای که دعا و مراقبه برام میکنه اینه که افکار من رو تغییر میده، افکار پر از رنجش، پر از ترس، پر از عصبانیت، پر از خشونت رو تغییر میده و تبدیل میکنه به بخشش، گذشت، سطح دیگری از من تبدیل میشم، میرم به سطح دیگری از فکر، درک، شفقت، صبر، تحمل پیدا میکنم نسبت به برادرانم و این همون چیزایی که ای به من قول داده و من امروز همون جوری که ای میگه شاد، خوشحال و آزاد هستم در بیشتر مواقع، بیشتر مواقع آرامش دارم، بیشتر مواقع کلم آروم و ساکته و من اون چیزهایی رو میخوام که دارم و اون چیزایی که شما دارید رو دیگه نمیخوام و با اون چیزایی که دارم شاد هستم. من امروز 6 تا نوه دارم که هرگز منو در حال مصرف مشروب یا چیزای دیگه ندیدن و همسر من میگه اونا تنها کسایی هستن که تو رو ندیدن در این حال و یک ازدواجی دارم که 48 سال امسال می میشه، ماه می میشه 48 ساله که من این سالگرد ازدواجم میشه. همسر من یکی از اعضای بسیار فعال الانان، پسرم رفت به الاتین و دخترم هم به الانان و زندگی در AA بسیار زندگی لذت بخشیه برای من. من راهنمای مردان بسیاری هستم و این یه قسمت بسیار فرح بخشی از زندگی منه و یه چیز فوق‌العاده‌ایه و برای شادی و مجانیه، پس ازش استفاده بکنید و لذت ببرید و امیدوارم یه از صحبت‌های من چیزی به دردتون خورده باشه و امشب سرتون رو هوشیار بذارید روی بالش. Thank you very much, Barry. It was beautiful talk.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed you too. You were great. Thank you.
سپاس از شما خانم سولماز. ممنونم از